Well, fishing conditions across the country are varied, of course. You know, you've got some areas that have a lot of water, some that don't. But with me today is Rick Steckelberg of Swarm and Hornet Lures. And I guess, Rick, the first thing is that your bait company's going crazy, and you keep coming out with new products all the time. Go through that lineup, if you would, and then we're going to talk about how these conditions, with the drought conditions you guys have in that part of the country, of course, the Classic and some of those kind of things, how that bait can really help maybe some of these anglers do well. I guess the first thing is kind of go through your lineup, if you would, for me.
Okay, we've got the original fish head spin that originated back in about 2002 that really should be a real big staple on the Classic coming up on Hartwell in February. And we've also got an addition to the fish head spin, which is called the fish head shaker. It's a cowling over the top that actually adds a crankbait shake to the fish head spin. We've also got the sling blade flutter, which is actually a flutter hook that actually incorporates a small blade on the bottom to actually give a little more flash. And it can also be used with fluke-type products, Senko-type product, big worms, big tubes. I mean, we've just seen so many people use a variety of ways that they can use the product that it's actually impressed us as what people can actually do with these baits that we make. And the other product that we have is called a drop shot fish head. It incorporates a hole that goes through the head that actually keeps your bait sticking straight out. And you add a small finesse fish or a zoom tiny fluke to the back of it to give a small bait fish profile, which is what a lot of people want when they're drop shotting.
Well, 2002 was a great year because you came out, of course, with the Swarm and Hornet, the basic bait that you know, designed. And then all of a sudden you guys said, hey, wait a minute, we got some other ideas here, and started putting that stuff together, and now guys are catching fish on it. And Zoom has got some baits, I know you mentioned them there, that match well, but it's kind of up to your imagination to come up with that bait that, you know, to be able to customize it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that you can do with any of the baits that we make. I mean, you can put the actual fluke-type product on the back of it to give it a minnow shape, if you will. But other people actually put knot tails on the back of it, what we call a knot tail, which is actually the swimming tail action, as well as also a grub on the back of it for people who are fishing for smallmouth or for not-so-clear conditions, if it happens to be stained water or muddy water, have that extra vibration as well as the flash that goes on the bait.
Well, I guess the first thing, and people think about where you're at, of course, you're near Atlanta, and it's, you know, it's a thing where Lanier and a lot of those impoundments around that area are very drastically low. I mean, it's to the point of being major concern for the entire country. But the fishing would seem to be, I mean, you're bunching fish up now, would seem to be pretty good. Are you guys catching them down there?
We're catching them pretty good. The only thing about it is Lanier's only got one ramp open, and I'm not talking one ramp with four lanes. We're talking one lane out of 144 ramps that's on the lake. There's only one lane for everybody to fish out of or get into, and the parking is not very much there. There's only like 30 places to park. All these people that are wanting to fish, experiment, and look at all the new foundings that you can see that since the water's down 21 feet that you'll probably never see again. We hope that we never see this process again, but there's so many things that I actually looked at that I've been fishing for 12 years that I thought was actually a brush pile that's not, that I actually got to see in person. So it's kind of an eye-opening experience, number one, but it's also a drastic measure seeing how the economy is being affected here. You know, locally, we've seen marinas going out of business. We've seen other companies going out of business because of the water drought, and it's just a love-hurt relationship. You like to see it like this because it helps the anglers see different things and know what to fish, you know, structure-wise when the water comes back up, but then it's a terrible thing to see people's lives being handed well.
Well, and the guides and a lot of those kind of people, I've read a lot of reports about guides, you know, not really having any business this time of year down there. It's usually a pretty hectic time for the guides. They like getting people,
right.
You know, spotted bass are big. But now I want you to shift gears a little bit. You've been over to Hartwell. You know Hartwell pretty well, and you've been over there. It also is low, not quite as low as Lanier, I don't believe, but that's going to fish different for the Classic, too.
Yeah, I went over there last week before they're off limits, and I got to looking around at some things, and the fish are not where they're supposed to be. The fish, when we go back into a pocket, the water temperature is 64, 65 degrees. We actually seen some fish that were actually cruising the bank look like they was wanting to go back and spawn because of the water temperature. They're not nowhere near. I mean, we was catching fish in 1 foot to 2 foot of water, and then we could also catch fish in 35 to 50 foot of water. So the fish are kind of confused. I kind of wanted to think that the fish are actually in an October state because the water temperature is still in that 60-degree range, and they haven't. Some of the fish have made that move, but some of the fish haven't. But they haven't moved to where they're actually supposed to be, which is supposed to be right in the middle of the creeks.
Right. Now, you know, let's shift gears to the end of February. Of course, the Classic's coming there, and it ought to be a great event for the Greenville area. But when you think about shifting to there now, I mean, has it gotten any colder? Are you still having those warm temperatures? Tell me a little bit about what you think is going to transpire between now and then.
Well, we've had a little bit of cold weather here the last couple of days. The cold nights, anywhere between, you know, the mid to high 20s we've been getting at night, and it's only been getting up into the 40s. So that's dropping that temperature down, which is what our bait needs, or the water temperature needs to get these fish back to where they need to be.
You look at Hartwell and kind of, you know, for the folks that haven't been there, I've had the opportunity to be on that body of water a few times, but it is a different type of impoundment. You know, it's a lake that, you know, you're going to fish structure, but you're also going to fish some of that open water suspending fish, I would think, in February.
Right. The water where it's at right now, there are a lot of suspended fish out there in that 50-foot of water, 40-foot of water. And there will be, hopefully, if the water temperature gets back down to where it needs to be, there will be an opportunity for a spoon bite to be on down there, as well as our drop shot head should be a major role as well. But whenever the water temperature gets into that, hopefully the low 50s into the high 40s, that's when those fish will be back in those creeks, because the herring may play a major role in where those fish are related. Usually if it's a shad-based lake versus a herring-based lake, the fish tend to stay out deeper whenever the water temperature is colder. But with herring, for some reason, we don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know if I'm making a derogatory comment or not. But for some reason, those fish stay shallow year-round. I mean, like on Lanier, you know, they're shallow. When it's 40-something degrees, you go back in the back of a pocket or the back of a creek with a ditch in it. And, you know, the fish are in 6, 7, 8 foot of water. Then you're just throwing to that particular deal. But with a shad-based lake, you get 40-something-degree water, you're not going to find too many fish in the back of pockets. You're going to find them out deeper where you're spinning them.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, the blueback heron, of course, is a bait fish that it's kind of indigenous to that area of the country. I mean, you look at Clark's Hill or some of these other places, you know, the bait selection really kind of tries to match them as much as possible. And you've got a lot of baits in your arsenal that match it pretty well.
Yes. You know, we do have the fish head spin that matches it almost to a T. We've got a color that's actually called Arkansas Shiner that matches the blueback more so than it does an Arkansas Shiner, but we've also got threadfin shad-colored products that match all of the Zoom products. I mean, you know, our smoking shad matches a smoking shad head, Arkansas Shiner matches Arkansas Shiner, you know, so on and so on.
The bait selection that you're looking at, is that one of those things that just continues to evolve for you guys in a way of colors and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that, you know, like this year, we're actually going to come out with the 1/8 ounce, you know, to give the panfish people opportunity to use a smaller bait or a smaller fish head spin that gets into that panfish or bait selection. It's an 1/8 ounce fish head that's got a 1/0 hook in it. Andy Morgan actually 1/0 used this product at the FLW tournament in Arkansas. You know, throwing it on real light line, he would catch a limit of schooling fish that was eating very, very small bait fish. And I know that it's a very, very popular bait in California, the 1/8 ounce and the 3/16 ounce size, but we're actually going to come out more nationally now with the 1/8 ounce size, as well as we are going to come out with, you know, heavier size fish heads to get into the saltwater market. We're working on a 3/4 and a 1 ounce fish head right now, and we've been asked to make a 1.5, 2, and 3 ounce, and that's what we're working on at the present time.
a 3 ounce bait.
Yep, a 3 ounce bait. That's a lot of lead to be chunking and dropping straight down.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one to throw. All right, I'm going to hold you to a prediction here. I want you to tell me what you think the winning weight there at the Classic will be. And I mean, you're an expert in that area, so you know, kind of give me an idea of what you think it's going to take to win that thing. And second of all, you know, do you have a favorite angler potentially that you know? And they don't have to be on your staff. Give me an idea who you think might win this thing.
I think, you know, with Casey actually knowing the lake very well, it being his home lake, he's got a very good possibility, a very good chance. So does Gerald Swindle. He's fished the lake before. He knows it very well. He's won there before in BASS tournaments. Those two are probably my best picks to, you know, do good in it or to possibly win it. Weight-wise, if the water temperature gets down to where it needs to be, 18 to 19 pounds a day.
That's going to be great.
That's what you normally see that time of the year on that lake. Now, if it stays where it's at, I have no earthly idea because I've never had to fish it, you know, like that. So, you know, it could be a blowout. Somebody could go up the rivers, you know, and throw little crankbaits or throw jigs around stumps and come in with 20, 22 pounds, or they could, you know, it could be one of those miserable type tournaments.
Well, you covered, I think, everything across the board there. So you're safe. I think your predictions are good. And, And I'm going to hold you to that. Now, Rick, I look forward to talking to you more about the drought down the road. Keep me apprised on what's going on and what you're finding. And good luck to you at Swarm and Hornet. I know you guys are working very hard, in particular for this Hartwell Classic. And thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.